Hello, and welcome to 100% Real with Ruby. Today, I am speaking to Kate, and we were actually just talking just because I wanted to get to know her before I start the podcast, but we just hit like this massive thing where there are people not even in bodybuilding, like people not competing, falling into this cycle because our social media feed is filled with like competitors, people wanting to just lose weight. But then it's like, I want to lose weight. Ooh, why don't I do a bikini comp? It's becoming all the trend that people like the skewed perception, I guess, of what weight loss entails, the skewed perception of what things should look like. And because a lot of people who start out don't have an idea of like what's real, what's not. And Kate mentioned at the very start that she didn't even know what was right, what was not right. She's like, she had the perception it was supposed to be hard. So what did she start with? A really low calorie meal plan and a boatload of cardio. And a lot of people get into the journey not knowing all that much, and then they kind of skew themselves up. And it's almost like you hit rock bottom before, like we were both scared. Like we both can resonate on the fact that, yeah, while some people might go on a bender after a weight loss journey thing and then put on all the weight, both Kate and I were too scared for that. Like we wanted to stay stuck where we were. We were too scared to even do anything else. And a lot of people are in that mindset where, yeah, they might like go on a bender for a weekend, but they're too scared to do anything else. So they keep trying to fat loss. They're too focused on the scale. So I'm going to let Kate continue what she was pretty much talking about, in the fact that you get to this point where you're like stuck, to this point where you know that what you're doing is not right, but you think that you know the right way, so you keep hammering at that same thing.
Yeah, so for context, my first prep, it was coming out of ending my basketball career. And so I was in a super dark place at the time of my life. I'm just escaped literally a very, very abusive relationship. And so I was going through a lot of just self-loathing. I was embarrassed. I allowed it to happen to me. And the amount of energy output and restriction was something I could control, but it was also an exercise of just self-hatred almost in a way. And so it got to a point where, for context, now I am about 123 to 125 pounds, just, you know, normal weight fluctuation there. And I got down to like 94 pounds at my leanest. And post show, like she said, I became afraid of food. And it wasn't because I went out and like had a bender. I've never been a food focused human. It was simply due to diuretic use, cutting water and restricting sodium. And so when I went out after that, my family, and they were huge seafood people, it was a lot of sodium overload for my body. And I ended up having really aggressive edema for days. I ended up in the hospital, and then I was afraid of food. So instead of opening up flexibility, my diet actually became incredibly restrictive. I only stuck to my meal plan. I kept doing the same things because I didn't get a reverse dieting guidance out of it. I didn't even know what that was. And it allowed me again to like exercise that. Okay, cool. Well, now you get yourself here, you fucking idiot. Like, you know, might as well just keep doing this to yourself. And it was terrible. I was in a super dark place. And, the only thing that really got me out of that was I actually ended up in the hospital with my mom. I was on the little bed with the doctor, and he's looking at all my vitals, and we're getting blood work and all that. And it comes back and he's like, look, dude, if you keep this up, like your heart's going to give out. And I, at that point, like, I remember being so numb. Like, I remember this so vividly. I was like, cool, I don't care. But in that moment, I actually looked at my mom, and my mom, her eyes started watering. She started crying. Like, she's just looking at me like, I'm going to lose my kid. And, I look at the doctor and I go, listen, I'm not doing this for me because right now I don't give a shit. I was like, but I can't see her like that. And at that point I decided, like, I need to save myself, and not for me, but for her. And I started doing all my own research, and I started just really diving in and educating myself and finding sources and talking to other people. And just like, I had to find a way to survive and get out of this very dark hole. And that's what got me into coaching in the first place, was like, I want to be the coach that I still need. I mean, I've hired other coaches, and it, unfortunately, it's a lot of bullshit on Instagram, and it's glorification. And you think you find someone that's right because they say all the right things. And then you work with them and you realize that, unfortunately, when it comes to bodybuilding, especially, it's, you have to remember, it's a business. So it's like, if they can continue to get you to compete, well, they're saving their money. They're getting revenue for their business. So it's not always a health first industry. And so, you know, I was competing over and over and over and over and over again. And then after this last year, it was like the icing on the cake. You know, I want to make it super clear. I love bodybuilding to death. It did a lot for me. It's not the sport that did me this way. It was just too aggressive protocols for too long and not enough breaks. And I take, you know, extreme ownership over that, because I'm smart enough, and I do at this point, and I did on some points, you know better, but it was almost like, I know how to teach it, and I would never ask a client to do that, but I am broken somehow inherently. And therefore I have to get incredibly aggressive when it comes to dieting. That's just the way it is. Right. And I believed that about myself, and I spoke it over myself. And when you speak shit over yourself, you manifest your own reality. And so that's what I did. And it came to the tipping point where, at the end of my last season, my health went to shit. I mean, my blood work, I have zero reproductive hormones, zero testosterone. My CRP is incredibly high. So that's an inflammatory marker. My LDH is incredibly high. That's another inflammatory marker. I had chronic rhabdo. So now, even today, if you followed me at all, I made a video and I've talked about it a little bit. I took an entire month off of training. Like, I just wanted to get my period back, because on some level, I want to be able to have kids one day. Like, life is bigger than my physique. And I realize my value now does not come from that.
That part, like, this is going off the live Instagram that I did with Marcy, if you go and watch that. But there is more outside of your training and your diet. And I love it. Like, people love it when we bring our stories into this. But you girls know that I also did not focus on what happens next, because that's the thing. Like, when we start something, do we ever think about what's going to happen in a few years' time? Do we?
So I call that I think a lot of people, actually, I know a lot of people, it's always like, you're aware of possible negative outcomes, but we have this superhuman complex. Like, it's not going to happen to me. Right. I think at the time I was doing all these things, like, I had heard about girls who couldn't have kids, that had reproductive issues, that had hormone issues. And it's like, that's fine. I'll be fine. You know, you just brush it off. Like, it's not a big deal. I mean, there was my very last prep. I was doing over 3 hours of cardio a day, under 20 fat, and just crushing it. I mean, like 50 carbs a period of time. And, you know, that's aggressive. That's really aggressive. And, you know, it just sent a hormonal cascade in my body. And so, you know, luckily at the time, throughout my prep, I was studying internal health and functional medicine, because I knew that, well, just, I would say there's a lot of hormone specialists out there that talk about, you know, get your blood work done and do all this, and they know how to analyze it. Well, my prep coach at the beginning of my last season, you know, asked me to get my blood work done, and I didn't know anything at the time what it was saying. And he was like, you're good to go. But when what I now know, looking back at those labs, it was like, I should have never prepped. Like, that was why it got to where it did, because I was not in a place at all, to be dieting whatsoever, you know? And, you know, that was the tipping point for me. But now it's just given me a lot of perspective. And like I said, I'm very grateful that I went through it, because it's made me better as a coach, right? I have solid boundaries. I have very strong core values. I will just tell people no, if they want to prep with me and they're not ready, because I am not willing to compromise the integrity of myself, the integrity of my business, or be the person responsible for fucking up their health, because I know what it's like to be in the position where you feel like you have no control over your own body. You know, it's like, I am here, but I was not at one time, you know, fully who I am. I couldn't even show up authentically myself, because I was so mentally, physically, and emotionally just in high stress all the time. from the lifestyle that I was continuing to live, thinking that in order for me to be adequate in this industry, I had to show up and work harder and be harder and, you know, look a certain way and operate a certain way and send a certain message. And I realized it was so far out of alignment with who I am and what I want to do for people's lives that I had to really remove myself, like literally just tune out and ground myself and have very deep, dark, honest conversations to get to know me again. And I could work through that and remove that. And that's when I launched my business going, this is what I want to do. And this is what I'm passionate about. Not that I don't love bodybuilding and not that I don't work with people that compete, but life is so much bigger and bodybuilding can be very toxic if you don't recognize that there is still life outside of it and you lose that perspective.
That's actually something not many people would know this, but I actually started out as a prep coach and that was literally what I did for a couple of years. And I moved away from that. I don't like this. Most people that listen to this podcast aren't into bodybuilding. They're not competitors. So you're probably listening to this saying but she's talking about competing, but that's like stress is stress. And how did she get into this? Well, first of all, she was an athlete. So she had the mentality of that hard, hard, hard. But it's not just that. Like we run away from emotions and we don't want to sit with it. And it wasn't until the end that she started to have those dark, deep conversations with herself. And no one wants to sit in that discomfort. And that's when self-limiting beliefs come in. Like there are things that happen to you that you just run away from. And quoted from Kate is, this was what all that she could control. She could control her body. She could control her food because everything else outside of her life felt out of control. And that is what happens a lot of the time when people want to change their bodies, but they don't realize, you don't realize that it's not going to solve anything chasing a number on the scale, chasing fat loss, if that is all you chase. And I wrote down here, something that you said as well is like going harder, harder, harder in the wrong direction is just like amplifying shit that isn't working and probably going to bust the gears on something and it'll go like, boom. Like you need to, like you start chasing outcomes. This is something that you can start to talk about related to just like how everyone can relate to this because stress is stress. Whether you are prepping or whether you are not prepping, if you're going to keep chasing fat loss, and then add in everything else to it, like cardio, this, that, the other, you're putting a massive stress on your body and it's going to respond in the same extreme that you put the extreme stress on it. And you get to a point where you just keep chasing outcomes that you lose yourself in the process. It starts to become something that you feel like is a chore and you keep wondering why your body isn't changing the way that you want it to change. Because you keep pushing the same shit that isn't working because you think it's going to work for you. And to finish that little rant off is, it's not like people say, yeah, it's not going to happen to me. But how about on the other end? It's not about trusting the process. The process is pretty much proven. It's about trusting that it'll work for you. Because it's like, yeah, well, this was me, for example. Yeah, well, my coach did that to all these other girls and she looks like she has the same body composition as me. She's the same height as me. She's 5'2". She's 56 kilos, 125 pounds. She's eating so many carbs. She did this, but there's no way my body could do that. There's no way I could do that. It's not just that it's not going to happen to me. It's the, there's no way that I can do that. No, 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 no. I'm special. I'm different. I have to keep pushing this way because my body's broken. So maybe,
well, I think it is important to delineate that people are incredibly different, like on a genetic level and a metabolic level, right? So it's not to say that you aren't different because you are. And I think that that's where coaching gets marketed as one-on-one, but there's a lot of cookie cutter action. And that's something that, you know, one of my missions in my business is to bring integrity back into health and fitness. We are here to serve people. I think that that gets misconstrued. I also think, again, like if you're really paying attention to the one person in their biofeedback and their demographic and like their history, you should be designing a roadmap for them to get to the end goal. But sometimes it's not the design that they want to go down, and you have to be able to you know, really educate them on the importance of doing it the right way. Because there's zero point in getting bikini ready for 2 weeks. I mean, what the fuck is the point of all that work? So it's like, if you want to get the bikini body, why not sustain it if you're going to work hard enough for it? And then on the other side of the coin is like the adaptation process, right? Why would you possibly want to go if your metabolism is operating like a diesel? I mean, like a Prius, right? And I use that terminology so people understand metaphorically. You know, what happens when you diet down is your body is so much more efficient. So that means you have to get even more aggressive to see the same fat loss. Whereas if you would even just take the time, even if it's uncomfortable for a little while, right, to build up that metabolism and make sure your internal health is where it needs to be and have the flexibility in your life to go on date nights or be present with your kids or be at a social event, right, and do the life shit, because fat loss can happen and it will happen, but there's zero point in, let's say you can lose 10 pounds and you only have to do the max cardio that you have to do is an hour a day. Let's say you do that. Right. But that's obviously undulating push and pull periods because it should never be linear. But at the same time, like, let's say that same person, because they refuse to take time away from dieting, right, now has to get even lower with calories. And instead of having to do a max of an hour, they have to do two. Right. That's a fuck ton of effort. Right. Whereas if you would just take the time to keep yourself healthy, then you would be able to get to the result with potentially like half the workload. I mean, why would you not do that on top of like compromising your health long-term? Because it's one thing where, again, you feel like you're never going to be broken until you are. And then you realize the amount of time it takes to fix that. And in context, you know, it might take me a year really to get everything back, but I abused my body for like three. So it's like in context.
You said only take a year. Most people would be like, what the fuck? Even 6 months is too long.
And that's why it's all relative. Like, and that's what I tell people that come to me that have been like chronic dieters their whole life. They've tried every diet under the sun. I'm like, how do you expect to fix this when you have 20 years of dieting under your belt, you know, over-exercise, chronic under eating? Like it doesn't get fixed overnight. Right. And so that's the hard conversation that I have to have is like, but huh?
And then mentally dieting as well. Like you could physically be moving in the right direction, but you're still mentally dieting. It's the same thing.
Yeah. And it's like, they can't let go of certain things. But that's probably my favorite part of coaching now is the mindset stuff, breaking beliefs, making people incredibly self-aware of the way that they think and talk over themselves. Like I said, if you say, I am, I can, I cannot, like you are already setting a self-fulfilling prophecy because you're speaking it into existence. Your mind already is setting the upper limit for yourself. And so when you remove that and you say, I'm afraid to, but I'm going to do it anyways. Right? That's where you get your power back. And I think a lot of people have given that power away. They are the victim of some certain fucking context in their life. And again, going back to the timeline thing, it's like a year for a lot of people is like, oh my God, a year? Like I can't lose weight for a year? Yeah, a year. Like that's incredible, especially relative to a decade of chronic dieting. Like that's a fantastic ROI in my opinion. But again, like that's not the sexy answer. And there's plenty of other people that are willing to compromise your health and your sanity, right? By saying, sure, I'll diet you. No fucking problem. And then long-term, you can't figure out why your hands and feet are fucking cold. You're irritated all the time and you can't stop thinking about the nut butter in the pantry. Right. But that's a part of that process. You are in control and that is your choice. And again, then it comes down to the mindset stuff of like, where do you fucking find your value? Because that shit isn't in your physique. I'll tell you that. Yeah. But if you don't recognize that you have value outside of what you look like, then you are never going to be happy because you have already made a contract to yourself saying that you will not be happy until something outside of you is validated and makes you happy. So you are forever chasing validation, happiness, worthiness, acceptance, because you try to fit into something instead of just finding what you belong in. And if you don't get the difference there, I would really encourage you to sit down and think about that.
That almost gave me a little bit of tears in my eyes because this, if you hear everything that she said, this is what we do as coaches. And a lot of the time I find myself asking the deeper questions. I find myself pulling apart what my own clients say. And I know Kate would be doing this too, just by what she said. And sometimes I get nothing back. Like I just get no answers because people aren't willing to sit with themselves. Like you need to dig deeper. We ask the questions. We pull everything apart, the lifestyle, the mindset stuff. This is the stuff. This is why we are so passionate about coaching. It's not sexy. So people just brush it aside. They think it doesn't really matter because it's not getting them physical results. But what the hell does it matter what diet you do, what training you do, and what results you can get if you can't freaking keep it, if you can't enjoy it? Like, there is more to life. You guys really need to get this. It's not about a number on the scale. Like, if you were even still mentally trying to diet, it doesn't matter because you are going to fall back into that pattern regardless of where we move you forward, because you're still mentally, oh, I just need to get smaller. So you need to figure out, bring it back to the thing that you preach so well, is you need to put that focus onto the process. What is it you want to get out of this? Because there is so much more out of why you start a journey than just chasing a weight. And coaches aren't just for weight loss. It was the thing that I loved the most that you've said, and it was how I found you. And losing yourself in the process is you also losing your true why. So then you're always going to feel lost. You're always going to feel less than. You're always going to have these self-limiting beliefs because you haven't given yourself that power back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things too, like when I talk to a client and they come to me and they're like, I want to compete. I'm like, okay, cool. Why? And you'll watch them spiral because they don't actually know why they want to compete. Right. Because unless you are literally have a very strong why, and you have the background and you have the education and you have the knowledge and you have the time, because it is incredibly time consuming, your life will suffer. Like, your relationships will suffer. You will be so fucking food focused. It's disgusting, right? You're going to be irritated. You're not going to have a sex drive. You're going to snap at your kid. You're going to do things that are not reflective of who you actually are as a person. And I think people do not weigh that out. I've seen relationships be broken. I've seen people lose themselves. I've seen just some crazy shit. I mean, people that I love and care about to this day struggle to get out of the sport, even though they know it's good for them to do that, right? People that are amazing human beings, they're like afraid to say, I know that I need to pull the plug, but I can't tell my coach. Why does your coach have that power over you? And like, what is it that, you know, there's so many word games that are played. You're just not tough enough to make it here. Sorry. What the fuck do you mean? How are you supposed to talk to, like, you know what I mean? But those people that are competitive, it's almost like the degrading context in which they are coached makes them feel like if they don't do this thing, this very extreme thing, and let me just please preface this with, I love bodybuilding. I think it is incredibly empowering and it's a great journey, but it's not a journey that you can take every year or all the fucking time, right? Dieting should be a very small portion of your fucking year or your life. You should live at maintenance and focus on growing and changing your body composition. And I'm incredibly passionate about the idea. And the truth is that you can change your body composition without implementing a calorie deficit. But people think in order, especially women, they think in order to change their body, right, they have to just diet and do a lot of cardio. But then they're pissed off because they're just skinny fat and they don't look naked. I mean, they don't look good naked, and they don't feel that confidence, right? Women want to be toned. They want to have that muscle, but then they're not taught to train appropriately. They're afraid to pick up weights. They're afraid to go in the gym. They're afraid to do the things that empower them, right? That's what I'm passionate about. Because if you look at my transformation photos from 94 pounds to now my stage weight's about 114, right? That took 3 years of solid overload and training and eating up, right? Doing the right things. And again, like in those phases, I still dieted every year. So imagine if I didn't do that, like how much muscle I would have actually acquired. But it was not being able to set the boundary and say, this is not in the best interest of myself. And I'm sorry if that makes me weak in someone's eyes or not valuable or not adequate for the industry. I don't care about fitting in anymore. I don't care. I genuinely don't give a fuck because I know who I am. I know where my alignment is and I know what my mission is, right? And like I said earlier, it's to bring integrity back into health and fitness. Health and fitness is not bodybuilding. Bodybuilding is not healthy. I do not care who says it is. They are lying to you. In order to be that fucking lean, you are not healthy. And I think that that's a very poor message. Now, there are healthier approaches. There are smarter approaches. But adaptation, regardless of how smart you are with the approach, is going to happen. So it's not just saying we're going to do this the right way, health first. Like, yeah, you can be a health first coach and prep, but you have to be very clear about the fact that we're going to need to be very clear about the exit strategy here, right? So that we can optimize your health getting out of this. And then you're going to stay out of it long enough until we've acquired your health again.
We really need to make health sexy again, because it really isn't. Like, probably you say, like, people hearing us talk about health and bringing health into it, you're like, no, I just want to lose weight. I'm not comfortable with where I am. Like, it's what I see all the time. And I had a massive rant the other day, because you see people like clicking, like, loving all these photos, putting comments on things that are massive transformations, massive differences. But what went behind that? Was it healthy? Was it sustainable? What happens after that? We don't even think about context when it comes to this stuff, because we're so visually appealed by massive changes. And like, chasing forever fat loss and then freaking out about stopping that fat loss, like, you actually freak out about the thought of not dieting, and then you freak out about the fact that you want to build muscle, but you don't realize that building muscle means, you know, you need to actually put on a little bit of weight. It's like, people actually freak out about that, but you are going to have shifts in the scale as soon as you stop dieting, but you can't just freak out like that.
And I think there's a lot to be said about all of those things, right? So first and foremost, I get it. And I want to validate all of those feelings, because it is important to understand, like, where a client is coming from and empathize with them, especially if they've gone through a massive transformation and now they fear gaining the weight back. That's a valid concern. And I think it's really important for me too. Like, that's why I have onboarding calls and I screen for them, because I need to know where they're at. And there's a point where it's like, you're just not ready for this journey, and that's okay. I'm going to send you some resources, and when you are ready, like, we can level up together. And so it's like, you can't, you cannot force somebody to see something they aren't ready to look at. And you can tell people time and time again, and that's why I beat the same drum. But I also understand that the first time you hear it, it might not hit. It might be the fifth time. It might be the 15th time, right? But on some level, at some point, that message is going to resonate and you're going to go, holy shit, I wish I had looked and listened and heard that sooner. And so I got a question on my story the other day. I pulled it up because I think it's relative to this conversation. You know, I posted a Q&A and they were like, you know, going into maintenance in a few days after a deficit and losing 40 pounds and I'm scared to gain it again. Right. And so my response was, which situation sounds better to you? You fight adding foods, you continue to suppress metabolic rate, internal hormones adapt, and all of a sudden your health is compromised and you can't lose weight, even eating like a bird and doing a fuck ton of cardio. Or you reverse diet, continue to train and be intentional. Maybe you gain a couple pounds, but your health is there. Your metabolism is improved. You add muscle. You can be more flexible. And in the future, your next starting point, weight and body fat level, is significantly lower than your previous. So you can lose body fat and have that tone look that you want long-term, but the choice is always yours. And I think it's important to take extreme ownership over the outcome of what you're doing. And I know that the idea for a lot of people that have gone through weight loss or have weight loss goals is like, you're telling me that in order to lose fat, I have to eat more. Are you fucking crazy? Right? Like, I totally get that that's scary and it's very counterintuitive. And so I think it's important to validate that. But at the same time, if you understand physiology, right, you understand that carbohydrate and water interact, fill out the muscle, and therefore your scale weight is going to go up. You also have to understand that a scale weight is impacted by so many things, especially if you're a female. Right? Relative to your cycle, it can spike multiple times a month, depending on those things. And you're probably a high stress individual overanalyzing their body composition. Maybe you're anxious. I remember when I was super lean, I wasn't a super anxious kid. But when I got into bodybuilding, I developed anxiety like it was nothing. And I didn't, you know, my mom was like, you've never been so anxious in your life. But like, I pick at my fingers, I'm constantly like sweating. I'm like, you know, my brain didn't shut off. And it was because my body was still so adapted, but I had normalized it. Right. And I'm really passionate about the idea that you can normalize being shredded. You can normalize being too lean because you're used to feeling that bad. you've gotten used to it, especially if you're chronically there, right? That is your, that's perceptually your new normal, right? But once I added more weight, yes, I have more body fat than I've ever had in my, maybe not ever in my life, but like I've got more body fat on me, like for sure. But I am healthier, I am happier, and I am wealthier in so many arenas of my life that have nothing to do with finances. And I think a lot of, I know a lot of, like, I could get into those concepts, you know, in a different level, but it's like, you have to remember a lot of things when you're on your deathbed and you look back at your life. I don't think you're going to go, damn, I'm really glad I weighed X amount of weight my whole life. And I focused on my scale weight and I snapped at my husband and I said no to my child's birthday cake. And I was in the bathroom trying to purge after I had a bite of a donut in front of my daughter when she walked in. You know, I don't think that's going to make you happy. I genuinely don't think that's a good decision. But I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I just think it's important to conceptualize the long-term impact of that in the moments and the experiences that you can miss out on while hyper-focusing on an incredibly aggressive goal. And I want to make it very clear, I do and will always be a health first coach. And a lot of people do need to lose weight. A lot of people, 88% of our population has metabolic syndrome, 88%. And I want to make it very clear that the people that you look at and you think are healthy also deal with metabolic syndromes and issues like myself, right? Some people might look at me and be like, damn, she looks good. Yeah, I take care of myself now, but I still suffer the consequences of not taking care of myself on the extremity of constantly dieting, aggressively dieting, staying too lean too long. On the other side of the spectrum, you know, there are people that continue to overeat. We've got a lot of diabetes. We have a lot of overweight people, right? And so either way, your perception of what healthy looks like is going to be skewed one way or the other. And I think it's important to rationalize and logically look at, yeah, my body has more body fat on it. I got stretch marks. I'm just chilling. At the end of the day, I am healthy. Like I am healthier than I've been in a very long time. My health is still not optimal, but it is much further along than it's been in 5 years, 6 years, you know? And it's like, that to me is more important than feeling validated based on my physique. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't look good. I do. And I think that you can love yourself and want to change. I love my body and I love where I'm at, but that does not mean I don't want improvement. Yeah. Like at the end of the day, that's where I'm at. And I think that if you can find that peace and understand that your fitness, like literally living a healthy lifestyle and your fitness goals, it's a moving goalpost. It's a pendulum that swings and it's not about being on or off. And I could really rant about binary thinking, right? There's no dichotomy of I'm on plan and then I'm off plan. I'm in prep and I'm out of prep. I'm in health and fitness and I'm out, right? When you live in extremes, that's why you continue to yo-yo. Whereas if you go, my life is really stressful right now. Like the amount of effort that I can really put into it. I don't know if I can hit the gym 5 days a week and I don't know if I can do cardio 6 days a week, but what I can do is control my nutrition. Right. So I'm going to really focus on that element and just getting steps. I'm going to aim to train realistically 3 or 4 days a week because I know I can hit that. Right. And then on the other side where you can put in more effort, right, then you do that. But it's never about being on or off plan. Even if you go into the office and there's donuts that day and you make a poor decision that morning and you have a donut, cool. You lived your life. You had a fucking donut. I hope it made you happy, but you still have the power to make a better decision that day in your very next moment with your very next meal. And instead of blowing it 5,000 calories over, maybe you're at the end of the day, you're over 300. That's way better than 1,000, 2,000, 800, whatever it might be, right? Because you have to remember you always control those variables. And when you do that, you're still constantly moving in the right direction of the outcome in which you seek, but it might not be as fast as it was at one point. That doesn't mean you're not taking steps in the right direction.
You need to have the right mindset to be able to develop this awareness. And as you say over and over, you have extreme ownership over the outcome by the choices that you take. And it, like, if you're not going to come to it with the lifestyle mentality and you just want the get there quick, like the get there quick fix, you're going to short spin yourself. Like there is a healthy medium. And like she said, both extremes are going to send you down the rabbit hole. So it's the mindset. I'm going to let you jump in. It's the mindset behind what actual approach you take, because you're always going to blow it if you have a donut, if the mindset you have is still in that quick fix mentality.
Well, and here's the thing, like most people that want a quick fix have done a million quick fix diets. How'd they do? And I'm being dead serious and I'm not making fun of them. Like genuinely so. They've tried every diet under the sun. They do Avacare, they do Herbalife, they do whatever is trending on Jennifer Lopez's, you know, Vogue or whatever the fucking fitness magazines are out there, right? They do these things that they're not sustainable. And then they come to a coach and they're like, well, I want to lose 20 pounds in 5 weeks. And I'm like, I can't do that for you, period. I won't. I mean, it's not realistic, right? And that's where a lot of people, especially new clients, like they're scared because it's like, whoa, this is way different. This is scary. There's a lot of resistance. I'm scared of this. Wait, like I had a client and I'm telling you right now, like she's going to be a rock star. I'm very excited for her. She was training for a marathon. She was working with a coach that put her on 20 fat, less than 100 carbs and mediocre amounts of protein. I mean, she's very low calorie training. Like this girl does ridiculous amounts of cardio, right? And she's a spin instructor on top of her own training. So she, her output was ridiculous. And she was so inflamed and so overtrained. I doubled her intake. And she was frustrated because her weight maintained. And I'm over here smiling and cheering, like, what the fuck? That's amazing, right? I doubled your calorie intake and you're maintaining your weight. There's less inflammation. There's more definition. Her digestion system is improved. Her bloating is down. And I'm like, why are you like, she's like, I'm not losing weight. And I'm like, I know, but look at everything else, you know? And it's because you, especially women in their 30s and 40s and 50s, you know, I see it a lot where they grew up in diet culture. And so it's like, they're only focused on the scale. And if the scale goes down, it is a win. If it goes up, it's body fat. And they're like, it's only those two things exist, which again, logically is not the reality of the situation whatsoever, right? But her energy is better. Her performance is better. Like she's showing up to her classes doing better. Her mile times are increasing, like all of these concepts, but she has trouble taking days off. Like when I tell her to take a complete rest, it's like, what am I going to do? I have to work out. No, I can't sit. I'm going to get fat. Like these illogical fallacies, like all of these concepts you have to break and you have to go, okay, I feel a lot of resistance here, but I have to do something different if the outcome in which I desire is different from the things I've already tried. And that's where, again, it's like, you have to realize, yeah, it's going to be scary. It's supposed to be different than anything you've ever done. If it is the same, then I would say you're not really doing anything different. And the outcome will likely be the exact same in which you experienced the first time. And so if you can rationalize it that way, it's almost even more exciting. This is an opportunity to see what the fuck your body can do. And like, that's empowering. That's exciting to me. And so whenever I feel resistance in my own life, I lean into it now. Like, I don't know what the fuck is on the other side of this. I might really fail. And I want to share this too, because I think it's important that it would be unrealistic for you to be very good at something the first time you've ever done it. You don't have the skill. You don't have the knowledge. It's like people that want to come in and diet, but they're like, oh, I'm going to lose fat and intuitively eat. Like, do you know anything about nutrition? Like, good luck. Because the Oreo is going to tell you intuitively that you should eat the whole fucking box.
You intuitively ate to where you are now. That's my little saying with intuitive eating. But it's so true, because you need to gain like awareness and knowledge of the journey itself. You need to learn your body through this journey. And it, like, once you actually realize that everything you're doing away from the scale actually has a lot more progress to it, because it's not defined by a number. Like, Eric Hay can be an important metric, but I hate using the scales as it, because it's like, you can know what goes into the scale, but still have it mentally fuck you up. Like, legit, if you've been in that mindset for years and you put your pass and fails on a number on the scale, you are missing the bigger picture. Like, how about the fact that she was maintaining at double the calories? That didn't even like put a chip on her shoulder.
Like, she's like, I'm eating so much. I don't understand why I'm not losing weight. I'm eating too much. I'm like, I know. It's okay. You're supposed to. And then you have to break down the concept of like, this is actually incredible. If I were to double most people's intake, and I never want to set unrealistic expectations, they would gain weight. They would gain weight. I anticipated her gaining weight. She maintained weight, right? Because she had so much pent up physiological stress that it literally, like, her cortisol came down. I'm telling you, her bloating and her inflammation, I can see a lot more definition in her physique, because she's got good muscle. Like, she's got a beautiful, beautiful physique. but it was so inflamed that she felt soft and pudgy and whipped, you know, a lot of that was just inflammation, systemic inflammation over time. And so it's like, if you don't know where to look, right, then you're not seeing the important things. And that's where it's a coach's job. Like, I'm going to tell you where to look. I can't tell you what to see when you look there, but I'm going to tell you where to look, right? Because if you can start focusing on the right things, well, long-term, right, you're going to see the results improve. I see a lot of women get lost in their scale weight and their nutrition, and that's all they focus on. They do not hold themselves accountable when it comes to training and overload and intensity and tracking a logbook, ensuring that every single week they're beating that, they're challenging themselves, right? Because, you know, I really love to use the word force when it comes to adaptation. If you go in the gym and you pick up the same weights and do the same rep schemes for the same amount of sets and you're not seeing changes, that's exactly why. Because you're doing the same shit over and over and over again, and it's easy. Adaptation, you have to force. It is uncomfortable, right? You have to get to a point where you know where your failure point is. And again, that's exciting. I know a lot of people are afraid to fail in the gym for whatever reason. They're afraid of judgment. To me, it's exciting. I'm like, all right, well, there's my limit. I'm going to break that bitch. Like, to me, it's like, I'm going to beat that. That is exciting. And when you do that, guess what? You're forcing adaptation to occur. You are forcing a change in new structural proteins to build, right? Because now there is a demand for that to be acquired, but it is not easy to do that. And so it's, you have to be intentional, right? You need to go into the gym with intent. And I always like, my pillars of my business are leadership, integrity, fortitude, and excellence. And excellence stands for excellence in everything that we do. So it's not about perfection. It's about showing up and operating in a manner where whatever you are asked to do, you are doing it to the best of your ability, right? So when you walk in the gym, it should be intimidating to you. Like, I get hyped for leg day, but I'm scared shitless. I'm like, oh, look at my numbers. All right, we're just going to go fuck this shit up and I'm going to do it my best. Does that mean I beat my logbook every week? No, that would be unrealistic, especially for smaller muscle groups. That's not always going to happen. My goal is not to go backwards, right? And then when you get to a point where you're not and you feel tired, guess what? You probably need a deload or to pull back. But like, that's where your coach should be monitoring all of that biofeedback to go, okay, we've been on the same block. We've been stuck for like the last 3 weeks. Let's go ahead and break.
That mindset behind your training. It is very hard to have this mindset into your training. It is very hard for you to mentally force adaptations if you've been shrinking yourself your whole life. And you, like, if you come in underfueled, if you come in with that mindset of less, 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 you are not going to feel motivated. You're not going to feel like you can smash it up every single session because you don't have that in your system. Like, it's just really hard to have that mentality when everything else around you is in tiny size, like in half size, super size, shrink size, the opposite size, the super size and then the small size. But
yeah, and I always ask people, like, which would you rather have if you could pick? Let's say you hit your goal weight, but you hate how you look in a bathing suit. Let's say you're 5 pounds heavier than your goal weight, but you feel like a sexy motherfucker and you're like, yeah, I got the shape I want. I look great and I feel good. Like, what is more important? And every single person is going to answer B, because nobody wants to be skinny fat and nobody wants to feel uncomfortable in their skin. So then it's like, why do we put so much emphasis on a number that we want to weigh instead of an aesthetic goal that we want to achieve? And when you focus on that, then the workload becomes much easier to focus on, because you know that in order to change your physique, you have to put in the work to get there. And on the other side of the coin, you cannot just train and train and train and train and train, even if you're eating up. You have to recover just as hard as you train, or you're not going to be able to structure new tissue. And that's one of the things, like, when people are reverse dieting, depending on where they're at. And again, it's always going to be context. Like, if your calories are super high, I get resting macros, right? But if your calories are at maintenance, a lot of people are like, well, do I still eat the same amount on my rest day? I'm like, yeah, because you need energy to recover. Right? You don't have to earn your food. I don't know where that concept comes from, but a lot of people think that way. And it makes me incredibly sad. Like, you do have a resting metabolic rate where most of your energy demands actually come from. Like, me sitting here talking to you, my brain requires glucose to have this conversation. I'm blanking in my autumn on, you know what I'm saying? your automatic nervous system, right, requires energy to operate, my heart to beat, my eyes to blink, my mouth to move, like all of those different things. Like your body in general just requires energy. So let's like, do you feel like you have to earn that? No, you need it. And again, like quality of life is a thing. So there's just so many different factors in belief breaking series that you have to go through. And again, you can't force that on someone that doesn't want to do it if they're stuck in that rut. And I think it's important to just recognize that, because I remember when I was there. I can't judge them for it. And I have a lot of compassion for them and a lot of empathy, because I know what it's like to know you need to be doing different, but you haven't gotten the power back to start fighting for your fucking self, because you think somebody else is going to do it for you. And I promise you, at the end of the day, you are and will always be the product of your choices, and nobody is coming to fucking save you.
You need to get really realistic about what it is you really want. Like, actually zoom out. Like, you need to slow down. Most of us are going too fast to even realize any of this. Slow down and ask yourself, is what you're doing actually getting you to where you want to be? How long have you been trying at it? How long have you been trying to, I know what's right, I know what I need to do? Because it's not easy. It really isn't easy, especially if that's all that we know, especially if we are uncomfortable to even sit with ourselves. And it is so true, because I see it a lot where the scale is literally the only thing you think of, or losing weight is literally all you can think of, that you're not even willing to be okay with focusing on actually getting the habits right, getting your mindset right, actually getting yourself into a place to lose fat. Because yes, sometimes we need to actually go into that fat loss phase and push it for quite a while, but you can't see success there if your mind isn't right first, and if you don't come out of that to build a base to then go from.
And I think it really all comes down to, again, like, what is the purpose? And I think a lot of people forget to ask themselves that question, right? I get this all the time. Well, what supplements do I take? Well, for what purpose? You know, what X, Y, Z? I mean, it's all the same questions. And again, for what purpose? Like, why do you want to go into fat loss? The people that I see succeeding, they have metabolic issues. They want to lead their family better, right? They don't want to end up like their grandmother or their mother, right? They want to set a better example for their children, right? It's for them, their health, their, you know, those types of things, because the why is so big. It's like, this is going to be uncomfortable, but I have to change. I want to change, right? This is for me. And I think when it comes through a form of self-love, instead of, I fucking hate my body, oh my God, I'm a fat whale, blah, blah, blah. Like, you would never talk to your best friend or someone that you love that way. Like, genuinely so. You wouldn't do that. So it's like, why in the fucking world do you talk to yourself that way? Why do you think so little of who you are? Right? That is incredibly sad to me. And I get it, because again, I've lived in it. I thought the same fucking thing about myself. Then I realized, like, I'm manifesting my own reality, right? I had relationships where people didn't value me. I didn't value me. Why the fuck would they? And so it's like, until you can realize, like, you need to love yourself harder than anybody else will. And again, I'm not, you know, I didn't used to be a woo-woo person. I used to think like spirituality and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's fucking weird. You know, I'm not, but I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to engage and go there with myself, right? And it wasn't until I hit rock bottom that element really took off for me over almost a year ago now. But, you know, it's transformed my life. And I had to sit down, like I said, and I had to reflect on my value and what it was and who I am. And instead of trying to like fit into these different demographics, environments, you know, cult, whatever it might be, I just had to be myself and find where I belong. And that has changed my life in so many different ways, because I just started being who I am and not trying to be something that other people I thought would want me to be in order to be beautiful and inspiring and all that shit. I think it's just owning your shit and being authentically yourself and sharing that, and your people will resonate with you. They'll support you. They'll love you. And people that want to judge you at the end of the day, like, they're going through their own shit, man. Like, it's okay. We all have, like, we all are imperfect. We've all had times where we've done, said, thought things that weren't great. And I think it's important to humanize yourself, but also, like, if you find yourself being one of those people that's constantly, like, for example, people always pick on women in the gym. They'll be like, oh my God, do you see what that girl's wearing? For me, I'm like, damn, I wish I had the confidence to wear something like that, you know? And I think that when you can reframe it, it's like, well, you're right. You're kind of shitting on her because you're insecure, right? Like, I get that all the time, and I don't wear stuff like that, but I hear people and I'm like, who cares? She feels great. She's confident enough to wear that. Like, let her own her shit. You know, I think it's important to, you know, focus on improving yourself and focus on doing the things that light you up and removing the things that don't. My dad taught me at a young age, you know, addition by subtraction is a real thing. And when he said that, at first I didn't get it. Then I had to realize, like, your life can be significantly higher quality when you remove all the negative shit that's holding you down. And that, to me, is a concept that I share a lot now because it's true, right? And so breaking away from things that no longer serve you doesn't make you a bad person at all. And I think a lot of people put that on themselves. But when it comes to doing what is best for you, again, at the end of the day, you live in your head. You live and die in your body. I mean, you have to control those variables and show up for you. And that's where, you know, you could get into conversations about, well, my friends wanted me to drink and I did, and they're self-sabotaging me. My boyfriend brought home pizza and, like, he's self-sabotaging me and my goals. And it's like, no, 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 no. Like, they aren't where you are. You've chosen this. Like, you need to own that and you need to set boundaries. And the people that love you are going to support you and want to see you win and succeed. Those who don't understand are probably going to judge you, but that's okay. Because at one point you would judge people for doing the same thing because you weren't at a point in your life where you could understand and resonate with that.
That last bit is really powerful. And I think it kind of sums it up with what I wanted you to sum it up with, which is how important setting boundaries is, how important realizing your self-limiting beliefs are, and how to actually use those as your power once you become aware of them and start to prioritize you. Because until you prioritize you and schedule in you and set those boundaries, it's not just setting boundaries for other people. You need to set boundaries for yourself and know when to say no, and also know where to start cutting from. Because something that I see all the time is people try to add new things into their life. They try to try new things. Oh, but I want to do this. I want to do that. Oh, I should do this. I should do that. And then all of a sudden they're so overwhelmed, nothing actually gets done. And you don't even realize what's going on, but it's the fact that you haven't taken anything away to make room for the new you.
I think there's a lot that you said that was really important there. You know, people always ask me about productivity and they're like, how do you manage so many fucking things? And I'm like, people want to know what my morning routine is, right? And they're like, what do you do? I think the more that you try to add shit, that's why you're not being productive, right? You think you need to wake up and do some spiritual routine and then take a walk and then read a book and then do some yoga and, like, you know, journal and, you know, whatever it might be, and then start your day. Like, what if you the night before already had a task list laid out and you woke up and you knew exactly what you need to do and you just fucking dove in? Right? I'm not saying that's for everyone, but it's like, until you remove the shit that you say you need to do or you don't have time for, or, like, look at where your attention goes. Where your attention goes, energy flows. And most people want to live in distraction. When I'm working, I am not on my phone. I do not touch it. When I wake up in the morning and I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I start my day by 5. I do not open my phone until about 8 or 9 a.m. because I'm doing deep and very important work and I need my analytical brain to be functioning and focused. And so it's like, instead of adding shit, you need to look at all the things that are distracting and taking up your time, because people are like, I don't have enough time in the day. And you do. And I'm like, really? Because we all have the same 24 hours. However, I limit my distractions and I'm very intentional with my energy and my focus. And if you can do that, you will be just as productive, if not more, right? Because I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the most productive person. I have lots of improvement that I can make, but it's about taking the steps in the right direction. And I know that you talked about coming along in self-awareness. And I want to be very clear, like, this is not something that just happened overnight for me. If you go back in my, you know, things I started talking about, self-efficacy, right? That journey started for me in like 2017, 18. I have a podcast on it with my friend, Jordan Syatt. And that's where it started for me. It was like deep diving into who I am. Like, I knew I was not in alignment and there was something off, but I didn't know what it was. And so I've been doing that now, like I said, for years, to get to this point where I am just fully and authentically, unapologetically Kate. And I love her. Like, I love myself as I am, and I'm not here to fit in with everybody. You know, one thing I always say is like, I'm not here to be liked. I'm here to be known. Like, if nothing else, you're going to hear my message. You might hate me for it. You might be like, you're a fucking bitch, or you're crazy, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's okay. Like, I totally respect your opinion. It's yours. You can have it. But my intention is always good. Right? Because I don't want to see people hurt like I did. I don't want to see people get lost in the sauce and lose themselves and only think that their value is on the outside, or even as their human being. Like, you have so much more to offer. So it's like, you're limiting yourself. You're holding yourself back. And the only person that's ever going to be able to let your light shine vibrantly and abundantly is you. But you have to be willing to see it within yourself first.
That's when you break through your limiting beliefs, and when you actually start to sit with yourself, figure out what your purpose is in any pursuit, figure out why you want to do what you do and how you want to feel, how you want your life to look like, to feel like. That is when you can actually start loving yourself to a better you. Because it's not just about, I love myself, I'm not going to change. You always want the best for yourself when you truly find that inside of yourself. Because I'm literally saying all the time that I love where I am right now, but I always want better. How about Kate? She's the same. We're humans. We always want better for ourselves. So stop thinking that loving yourself and practicing self-compassion means that you're going to be complacent, because there is an element of discipline that comes with that. And it's something that's learnt over time. It's not something you just develop in 6 weeks, just like your dream body isn't something you just fall into in a 12-week challenge. Like, shit takes time. It takes intent. And it takes you having resilience to bounce back from life throwing curveballs at you, because it always will. You're never going to expect what comes around the corner. And the thing is, once you break free of the limiting beliefs, you handle that shit so much better. And you feel better for it. Like, a lot of Kate's words were the word feel, because you feel better. It's not just about, oh, this looks this way. You want to feel it, don't you?
It's an energy thing for me, right? And the best feedback that I get nowadays is like, I don't know what happened to you, Kate, but your vibe is different. Your energy is different. Like, I just want to be around you. I just want to talk to you. I just want to engage with you. And it's like, when you show up completely authentically and unapologetically, your light shines like bright. People feel it, right? And that's how impact grows. That's how, but even quality of life, because there are going to be people always that judge you. That's humans. It's what they do. They love to, especially people that are stuck in the same fucking shit. You'll hear a lot of people that always talk about the same groups of people. Like, I have, you know, family I'm removed from, but every time I go see them, whether it was a year ago or 10 years ago, it's always the same circular conversation, because nothing in their life has actually changed, right? They're not digging into deeper concepts. And one thing I like now is, you know, I study words and what they mean. And I didn't know, you know, when you think of like philosopher, you're like, that's kind of woo-woo, like talking about the world and, you know, all these weird concepts. But it actually means lover of wisdom. And so for me, it's like, when people ask what I am, I'm like, I love to learn. Like, I would identify myself with that now, knowing what it means. Like, I'm always learning in so many different arenas of my life. Like, for me, that's what it's about. Like, knowledge for me is power. Because if I can understand a concept and apply it, right, and work through things and challenge myself. Like, I think for me, life is about figuring out like how deeply I can evolve, how much of an impact I can leave on people. Like, I genuinely, when I talk to people, it's like, well, what do you do? Like, well, concisely, like, I'm here to change your fucking life. Like, and I mean that with conviction, because I am and I do. And that is always my intent. It doesn't mean it's easy. doesn't mean I'm not going to challenge people. I do that all the time. And it's actually my favorite part of my job is more of the mindset stuff, but it's incredibly empowering and rewarding, but it's something that you have to, everything that you believe is told to you by somebody else. And one of my favorite quotes is that we challenge all of our beliefs, except for those that we truly believe and those we never think to question. And so it's like, if you say, like, I think it's very important to pay attention to how you speak over yourself and the thoughts that you have, because when you think something, then you have to go, well, why do I think that? And when I started really breaking down the concepts and beliefs and the things that I would speak over myself and where it came from, I realized that it was something spoken over me by somebody else that genuinely didn't even know me, nor do they give a fuck about me. And so when I went through that phase, I was like, why am I limiting my own potential? Why am I holding myself in this box that somebody tried to put me in? I don't fit here. I am limitless. And it's like, so are you. And I think that a lot of people get envious and jealous, when for me, it's excitement when I see somebody succeed, because I'm like, it's possible. I'm fucking going for it. It's possible for me, because, you know, people at the top, and I'm grateful for the relationships and connections that I have, but anybody that you see is successful is still human at the end of the day, right? I know people that have started in really shitty situations. I know people that have started off incredibly successful, right? I also know that sometimes it ends up polar opposite, right? People that are given everything don't always amount to a lot of things, right? Because they've chosen that with their life, right? I know people that have grinded through nothingness and amplified their life to be something. And I think that it's important to not make your external environment the responsible element of the outcome, because it's on you. If you move with intention and conviction and you work your fucking ass off, right, you can achieve anything that you want to. And if you don't believe that, then you need to ask yourself why you don't believe that, because there's nothing different between you and I.
I love that. That is just such a powerful way to end this. And for everyone listening to this, honestly, your life is so much greater when you come from a place that isn't, like, I don't want to say desperate, but it isn't such an energy charge towards desperation in terms of wanting an outcome. But if you embrace the fact that it is a process, and it's a process of learning yourself, it's a process of, like, it's not finding yourself, it's becoming a better version of yourself. It's discovering things about yourself that you never once knew before. And this is why I ask the deeper questions. This is why Kate asks the deeper questions. And this is why we talk about the deeper shit, because it's not about what you eat and it's not about how you train. I can say this till I turn blue, because that shit doesn't matter if I can't stick, and it doesn't matter if it's taking away from your life, and it doesn't matter if in the process you lose who you are and you realize that your relationships are fucked up. And then you realize that now you don't even know what you want anymore, because that happens when you get lost in the process, in numbers. And one word you said, which I'm going to end this on, is amplify. Amplify your life. Amplify your beliefs. Amplify your energy, because that shit's contagious, but it all starts with you taking extreme ownership over your decisions and realizing that shit takes time. So with that, I'm going to leave Kate's Instagram below. And is there anything else that you want me to plug down there?
It's just, don't believe that you can't do shit. Like, who says? And don't try to fit into a box that you don't belong in. This, like, you're better than that. You deserve better than that. And you're capable of more than that. So that would be my last bit of advice.
Don't believe you can't do shit. Be the good shit, not the bad shit. I love that. And thank you so much for coming on. This was just a phenomenal talk. I recommend you actually listen to this one twice over and actually pause and take some notes. Don't just listen to this while you're multitasking. Actually take notes and apply it to your life. Because I know we can all be guilty of just listening to things on the go, looking for information on the go, but never actually writing it down and applying it, because we forget 85% of what we hear in a day. So write it down, remember that shit, and don't believe you can't do shit, so you can be the good shit. That works, because fit shit, that's the podcast that you're on, and it's what
we'll- That's right. That's right.
It works. So with that, thank you all, and I will, you will hear me on the next podcast.